Hello everyone, welcome back to Talking in the Rain. I'm your host, Sara Unju, and today's guest is a band from Victoria, BC called The Origin. They're a three-piece band and they're looking for their fourth. So if you're a guitarist who lives in Victoria and you want to be part of a real band, go hit them up. And yeah, you're going to understand that reference when you listen to the episode. I'm not making a dig at the band. Don't worry. And yeah, I had a blast recording this, so I hope you enjoy.
Thank you for joining me. To start us off, would you like to go around each, introduce yourself, your role in the band? And I also want to know if you have been obsessed with an artist or a song or a specific genre lately. What have you been listening to?
My name's Tom Hayward. I'm the guitar player. And I do a little bit of the singing. And today I listened to the new Cage the Elephant album, Neon Pill. And I really liked it.
I'm Curtis, Curtis Duggan, also in The Origin. And I play bass and I write some of the songs and have done from the beginning when Tom and I started it. Recently, I would say in the last year, I've really come to like an artist called Mitski, who was popular in New York when I lived there for a few years, but I didn't listen as much when I lived there. But since I've come back to Victoria, BC, I've gone back and listened to a few of the albums, and definitely like her 2018, I think it is, album. It seems like it's going to be a classic in my in future when I rate the classic albums I love. And I really like her as a songwriter.
And my name is Liam Hayes. I'm the sort of newly minted drummer for the band. I've been playing drums for probably over 15 years now, and sort of bounce around different bands, playing solo, things like that. So it's nice to have landed with a crew that I'm really happy to be playing with and hopefully contribute to some of the songwriting moving forward. Mostly just being playing and jamming so far, but yeah, hoping to contribute more moving forward. In terms of recent obsessions, I was never into country, and I'm now very into country, probably the last year or so. I think I was getting a little bit stale with rock and wanted some rock with some twang. So yeah, sort of beginning into that. Jelly Roll was in town recently. I saw some of the concert. So I think I'm going to try and deep dive into his catalog a little bit and see if there's anything there that I like. But yeah, country's kind of new to me.
Interesting. Also interesting that you as a drummer are in one band, because I feel like the whole deal with drummers is that they're always in multiple bands and there's so
lot stuff. And so far,
I'm trying
to stay committed.
he's fiercely reliable.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely the most reliable drummer.
He's an anomaly
in the city. West of the Rockies.
Yeah, that's
right. I love that for you guys. Well, Curtis and Tom, you two started making music together in the 2000s, and then you stopped for a while, but then 2020, you're back together making music again. You ended up releasing like 9 songs in that year alone, and you have been releasing music pretty consistently since then in the past 5 years. How did it feel being back together after so many years and to not only make music together again, but then to release it as well?
I would say like it felt, at least for me, it felt exciting. Like I continued to write and kind of release or play live shows as an acoustic solo act in the intervening years. But kind of when COVID happened, and I think a lot of us had free time, we kind of reignited our passion for writing together and writing rock music. And it sort of coincided with the realization that the technology is so accessible to create and produce songs that are of like a decent quality. Whereas before, when we were recording, it really felt like an uphill battle to put something together that was listenable, I guess. So everything kind of aligned that way, and it was really exciting, and it was also much easier to get your music out there and on streaming platforms, say what you will about them, but it opened up a bit of an audience for us, and I certainly like finding out like where people are hearing us and where people are Shazamming us, and we can see that on our analytics. And yeah, it definitely was exciting for me.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there's probably 8 or 9 years where I almost didn't think of myself as a musician as an identity. But what never stopped is I was focused on my career. And sometimes maybe when that part of my life was actually pretty difficult, what I could turn to when I was alone and feeling stressed is that I could always kind of like go and work on a song, almost like a deep, deep secret part of me. That would and then that would lead to maybe, you know, four or five, six, seven ideas being carried along over the years. And I would say, you know, at least for me, part of 2020, it was partially a bit of writing new stuff, but it was also partially like 2020, 21, even into the 2022 songs, it was kind of releasing long pent up songs too. There are some songs that were like, now it's a pandemic, I'm gonna write something new while I'm in lockdown, but there was also stuff that was pent up. So I felt that kind of chance for things that might have never been anything to come out and be shared with Tom and with other people we were working with was like, oh, it was kind of like, this might have never happened. And it was amazing that it turned out that it could, these songs could be released and shared and mixed with Tom's songs into EPs and different releases.
Yeah, and you two have been friends for a long time, right?
Yeah, we went to the same elementary school. And so between sort of kindergarten, grade one time, and really, you know, starting to play sports and talk about music together starting around grade five, six, and seven, it's been the ride of a lifetime.
Think it was
Yeah.
grade eight or something, or grade nine. My dad had an acoustic guitar, and I decided I was going to learn how to play it. And just like at the same time, I think Curtis was always into piano and stuff, like taking lessons. And I was new to music at that time, but we both started listening to like Blink-182, and we both were into the Beatles. And then Curtis got an electric guitar for Christmas, and I was like, man, this is really cool. It definitely ignited that spark.
Yeah, I think the first couple things was like I had music from like choir in school and playing piano lessons from 5 years old. But what changed around 13 years old or 12 years old was starting to kind of be like, I don't have any sheet music for Let It Be. I'm just gonna listen and just like play the chords. And so the part of it was, oh, you can just listen to things and play them. You don't have to play the notes that your piano teacher gave you. That's not the only way to know something or do something. And then totally different thing was like listening to Blink-182, and there's kind of like you can play a chord that's like brown, but you can also kind of put your palm against the strings and go ching 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 ching. And I was like, that's so amazing. I need to learn to play chords where it doesn't ring out and it goes ching 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 ching. And so, you know, Blink-182 did that a lot, and other bands kind of that era did that a lot. So both of those things were like the first time I was like obsessed with a musical concept, and then that led to, you know, talking to Tom about all kinds of different things over the years and getting into music. Like,
When did you start playing the bass?
pretty soon after, I think it was just like maybe a year later, another instrument. And in order to do anything, and maybe, you know, especially over the course of our high school career, we were, you know, getting in a few talent shows, and eventually in grade 12, doing our first attempt at recording. So between that, you know, pretty quickly, I needed to have a bass guitar so that we could do bass in the band.
Yeah. And so, Liam, coming into this duo that has known each other for such a long time and been making music for a while now. What was that experience for you like, coming into this dynamic? And also, can you talk about like how you joined the band, how this came about?
I guess I'll speak to the how first. I've been wildly regarded as one of the most reliable drummers west of the Rockies, committed, and so was headhunted based on that. Yeah, we Tom heard through work that I played drums, and he said, "Hey, you want to come and, you know, jam with us and try it out?" So we did that, and it was a little bit intimidating for me going into it because Tom kind of said, "Hey, like I have this band, like you should listen to us. We're on Spotify." So I listened to them on Spotify, and I'm like, oh, this is like a band. This isn't, you know, people releasing mixtapes or whatever. I'm like, these guys are actually like really good. I was like, good music. I'm like, oh man, okay. I hadn't really played with sort of a band that I sort of developed, I guess, to date. So yeah, I was kind of listening through the catalog, thinking like, oh, okay, I have to learn to play drums now, or learn to play these songs now. So yeah, I learned a couple of these songs, and then we got together to jam on a few of them. And I think it was the personality mesh that made it really work for us. Yeah, I think it would have been far more intimidating for me if they were sort of these just, straight to the point, like hard nose kind of musicians that just, wanted to like do the music. But it's like, no, we were there, we had fun. We just wanted to enjoy what we were doing. And yeah, if we figured out the song, great. And if we didn't, that's fine. We'll just jam on something, mess around, have a good time. So I think we kind of just started out like that. It was very relaxed, and it was a great way to kind of get started.
Love that. How often do you guys get together to like not necessarily write music, but to jam as well?
Yeah, we try to jam once a week. We're all busy, but like it's, we try to jam once a week. And I would say that I think it's always been that like the writing process, if we get together, is to kind of finalize or fix things. And I think that Tom and I have a kind of a solitary practice to get something into a song. And then any sort of writing and arranging is usually when the song's further along. It's not, maybe there's some bands, I don't know, like, the Chili Peppers or Radiohead, where four or five people are like in a room jamming an idea. And sometimes it happens, but I think, I mean, I'll just say, I think like Tom's really good at getting a song all the way to 95%. I think I'm pretty good at getting a song all the way to 90%. And I think some magic happens getting the final song to 100% when we work together. But I think a lot, there may be a few songs that came about a different way. But when we get together, it's mostly about, I mean, we have a hill to climb to get our modest set up into like a full 1.5 hour, 2 hour set. This year, we're looking at longer shows, any shows. It's kind of like the landscape for shows is a little different than when we started. And I mean, there's always opportunities, but yeah, getting together means usually jamming songs that are mostly done, and a bit of figuring things out. And especially with Liam, it's like, what could the drum part be? Because that's maybe the hardest thing to just do, sitting at a guitar or piano and figure out a whole drum part. So that can be a focus too sometimes when we get together.
And it's been good for me too, because previous bands I've played with, that's also how we've done it, is we sort of individually write our ideas and then bring it to the group, mostly developed, and then work on it together. And I know not all bands work like that, so I'm not really a jam writer, which is great because these guys aren't either. So we've been able to get together, and they'll bring a song at the very least with some ideas for the drums, and we'll work through it. But personally, I like starting with something a little bit more developed when it's someone else's idea, and then being able to just refine and work on it as a group. So that's worked well for me too. Again, made it easier starting with two people that have been playing together for so long.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I feel like every band I've spoken to before you guys have mentioned that they kind of write the music together, as you mentioned, like more of a jam writing for them. And so it's interesting that you guys work separately and then bring it together and finish it off together. And so can you guys talk a little bit more about this process of creating music for you guys as a band? And if you want to be specific, you could talk about like how you worked on your newest song, I Gotta Get Out of Here.
Sure.
Yeah, I think
That's Tom's song. So yeah,
so,
I'll let him
okay.
take it from
I think
here.
that part of the reason why maybe we begin songs often in a sort of solitary way is, at least for me, like often if I'm picking up a guitar, it's an acoustic guitar, and it's just like, okay, I got half an hour. What ideas can I kind of come up with? And that's probably a product of the music that I was exposed to when I was learning. Like, my dad had the Gordon Lightfoot chord books and the Beatles chords, and I would just sit there and like strum all day on the acoustic and like practice my chord changes. And that became the space where that became kind of my go-to for creating music, I guess. For that song, it was actually, I came up with that chorus. I rented a really nice microphone to record vocals for another song, and I was recording that day, and I think I just kind of played those guitar chords and then sang that chorus. And there wasn't really like a writing process. It just sort of was like, I don't know, sometimes like the music and the lyrics just sort of, there's that little bit of a spark where they kind of work together, and it just sort of happens spontaneously. And I was like, I have the freedom to record this now. The technology is awesome. I just have this little box and microphone, I can just hit record, and I'm gonna make this thing. And then I did, and then I had that chorus. And then separately, I had another part that I had probably written on acoustic guitar, which was the verse. And I had two things that were incomplete. It's like, oh, these probably could mesh together. And so I tried that and it seemed to make sense. And then the guitar solos, I'm gonna have a guitar solo here. I'm not gonna write one. Sometimes I will like sit there and write every note in the guitar solo so that it's melodic and it sounds good, and it's a long process. But this one I was like, I'm just gonna intentionally make the sound a bit frantic, a little bit messy. And you know, I probably did two or three takes because the ideas were developing in that 10-second segment as I was recording it. But that was kind of it, yeah. And then that was the song. But then that chorus kind of came from a spontaneous idea, and then there's that synth, which is just an arpeggio, so all the notes of the chorus being played like in a cascading way. And yeah, it was kind of stitching two ideas together, and then a guitar solo that I just sort of made up.
Cool. So Curtis and Tommy both play the guitar. Are there,
Liam does
well,
too, really.
Liam, you play the guitar as well?
Great songs too.
I
We
do. I play a
separately
little bit.
sing.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
not. I play
Yeah.
enough that I can. Again, if this is perfect for this sort of quiet,
Yeah.
solitary songwriting, I play enough that I can kind of sit and pluck the notes away and like put them into Guitar
Wonderful.
Pro or write it down or maybe record a little bit of a part and then bring it to Tom or Curtis to play it. So yeah, I'm not really the type of developed guitarist that would sit and be able to like play through their songs to completion. But yeah, to bring some ideas to the table, I think yeah, I can do that. It is dangerous when you give the drummer a guitar. It's like, oh, very nice. Like, thanks for that. It's better than
So,
giving me the drums, but
do you, is there ever like a guitar part is written and then the other members listen? You're like, oh, we could, do it like this, add this, change it this way. Since you guys, there's like this instrument that you all play. Is there an element of collaboration in that way, or does the solitary working continue in terms of that as well?
I would say sometimes maybe if I'm gonna help out, it's probably not like, what about this guitar part, Tom? He's more experienced with lead guitar and guitar textures anyway. But it might be something like about the architecture of the song, or well, this verse is similar to the last verse. What if it builds up? Or are we creating enough of a crescendo? Are we sort of music, architecture arrangement? It's rare that I would like come in and be, maybe sometimes, but it's rare that I would come in and say like, I think this part should be a different part. It's more of a abstract goal, and then, do it that way you want kind of thing. I'd be lying if I said like I came in and wrote different parts or something, at least from me helping out with other songs, I guess.
I think there's been some times though where I'd create a song and I send it. This would be pre-Liam joining to Curtis. Like, what do you think about this? And it's maybe at 80% like final. And then Curtis will be like, oh, I think this guitar part is clashing with the melody or something. And then I would go back to the drawing board a little bit. And is this an arrangement issue? Is this like a mixing thing? Does it just need to be panned over? Or like EQ differently or whatever it is. But I guess there's a little bit of that that goes on. And like the other weekend I was at Curtis's place working on a new song and just kind of laying down some scratch guitar tracks, and collaboratively I think Curtis was like, okay, try playing these chords here and stuff. So it does happen, but yeah.
Okay, cool. And speaking of guitar, in your bio it said that you guys were searching for a guitarist.
Yeah, do you know any? Are you a guitar?
Make this the cold open, like
All
just make
right.
this the first line of the podcast, and then we'll like this is the most
I
important part.
know you're moving to Toronto, like you said, but if you play guitar, you can just come to Victoria and play in our band.
I'm so sorry to disappoint you guys. I don't know anything about the guitar. I do play the bass, but that's already taken. So.
Here's the
That's
play
like we can work with that.
2/3 of what a guitar is then.
So tell me why you're searching for a guitarist if all three of you can play the guitar.
Well, a lot of our
That's a
songs,
great question.
we need, well, someone has to play the drums and the bass, and I would say most of our songs would have two guitar parts at least. So most of what we recorded probably benefits from a four piece, if not some that could theoretically benefit from a five piece,
Or an orchestra.
or a full for the full Abbey Road orchestra. So it would just be help us build out this live show that we're launching in 2025 to have the four of us. But right now we kind of arrange and work around it and practice around it with three. And we do a really good job of that in our jam space. But it would be nice to bring a fourth person on stage to get the full effect of these masterfully written songs that are, as Liam says, you know, a real band wrote these songs. And they're on Spotify. So we got to do them justice.
Yeah, so this is a public call out for any guitarists in Victoria. Tell me what you guys are looking for in a guitarist.
Someone who can play keyboard
and sing.
and sing. And if they play drums, that's just no, just somebody who can
And sub in on bass, you know, if we need them to.
good sense of humor. They need to like play N64.
They need to know what an N64 is. This is that's an ageist
They have to like
requirement.
Crash Bandicoot on the PlayStation.
Perfect. I hope you find someone.
I think, yeah, in all seriousness, it's mostly like Liam was saying, it's almost like a personality meshing. Similar like influences is important. So obviously they need to like our music, and they need to be like they don't need to be a great guitar. Like I'm not particularly great, they need to be competent. And it doesn't hurt if they sing a little bit.
Doesn't hurt
Like
unless they're bad at singing, then it hurts if they sing.
guess they probably need to like not be offended if you guys bring a 95% written song and it's kind of like, hey,
Yeah, that's
here's
true.
what your part's basically gonna be like subject to tweaks, which I suppose some people could take offense to if they
That's
wanna
true.
like fully jam it out and like be fully part of the writing process, which like
I think that's so normal to us that it'd be weird if it was like someone's like, you didn't include me. Because that's just pretty normal for us to. If Liam brought something that was 90% done, that would be fully within the culture of the band. Okay. It would almost be weird if like if it was like, I want you to figure this out for me. Like it's pretty Tom and I are pretty self-reliant about asking each other things, but like we're gonna make sure it gets done with sort of the drive to finish our own songs kind of thing.
Yeah, certainly. I was gonna add, if there's a new member, certainly they can be involved in the creative process going forward. But like a lot of the songs kind of exist already, so that's right. Like they'd have to be okay with kind of playing what we wrote, even if they don't like it or if they have a better idea.
There's a pretty extensive back catalog that at least I've been working on learning, and these guys have been working on relearning. And then like sort of the nascent song ideas that we've been working on, and then also the ones that are sort of now just being released. So we'll kind of have all that going before we start getting someone else's 95% done song.
If they've heard everything we've said and they're still listening intently, then that's a good sign that if you're listening,
Please find us on
Yeah, so what's your Instagram?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
I think it's the underscore origin underscore band.
The
Is that right?
underscore origin underscore band.
I love that you started that with, I think it is.
We're about the music here, you know. We don't let social media distract us from what's important.
But
Hey,
yeah,
very fair.
But yeah,
give
please
us a
follow
follow.
us.
Give us a follow.
We don't care about it, but definitely follow us, like everything, and share
Give us a follow, loves.
it.
Yeah, so going back to like the creating process, the writing music. So, how do you guys, I guess, keep a cohesive voice for the band
We
if
don't.
you all write?
It seems there is an assumption in your question.
So yeah, let's explore that a little. What does you do
Have
you guys have a voice?
you how much have you heard just the latest single? No, I'm putting you on the spot. Have you heard any other songs?
No, I actually listened to almost all of your discography.
Whoa. Okay. Can
Yes.
we flip it one time and say, what do you think about the fact, what do you think about the question of whether we have a consistent voice or not? You've been asking us a lot of questions.
I've never been put on the spot like this. I actually, so the reason I asked this question is because I didn't think there was a cohesive voice. That's why.
it's been all over the place.
I wouldn't say all over the place, but I feel like there's like a baseline, and I feel like that comes with Tom writing a lot of the stuff. But then there's also a lot. No, am I wrong?
No, it's true.
A baseline that comes from me.
Yeah, and then.
You mean like a through line, not like a literal bass guitar.
Oh,
Oh.
no.
Yes, team.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the literal bass. I meant like a
That's
baseline, as in like a bot, you know.
Kind of like if there's a cord that's running
Yeah,
through the whole song.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no.
There's a
Like
melody.
the there's a certain note
Yeah.
that
There's a certain violin.
this
Anyway.
but I feel like I meant like the like if you break the song down, there's a common sound for all of them, but then as you add more to it, I feel like there's differences between the songs, and I feel like that's where the other members of the Origin come in. But although, like, again, this is just my assumption, and so that's why I was wondering your point of view of this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, there's definitely a thing where I was like, probably for better or for worse, probably for worse. I was like, my new interest is recording and mixing, and I'm gonna go to the ends of the earth to learn how to do this. And so like the early songs, many of the early songs that are just like made that just like made in GarageBand and like mixed on like some headphones that I found in the house. There's like a stark quality difference to some of the songs where I think Curtis had less of an interest in doing that side of it. And so some of them there'd be, you know, like professional mixer in a studio that would receive the audio. And there's a polish that doesn't exist on some of the songs. And that is a big reason, and that could be kind of part of what you're describing, I would think. Though I think that like the gap is closing. At the beginning, like there's some songs that I just made that I probably made lots of amateur mistakes on in the production and in the performance and in the writing and in all of it.
I think so, having a consistent voice was something that I cared about a lot, or I thought I did when I was like 21, because I thought like the world cares, like the weight of the world of how people look at your band. That's one of the important things, is that no one's thinking you're trying to sound like something, or that if you don't have that, then you'll be judged. I think that in this era, I don't particularly feel that anymore. And you know, a little bit is just assuming like, well, it's the same two people singing, so that's gonna make a certain thing sound the same. There's also like, you know, I think both of us have a certain focus on melody over like
Virtuosity.
virtuosity or jamming, like long time, like long drawn out jamming, although there's some, you know, instrumental parts of m many of the songs. So some of that is like you might find that in the or in any Origin song, and that is a through line. But yeah, in terms of like it all sounding like it's the same 13 songs from Dookie by Green Day, and it's like, wow, like same instrumentation, same mixing, same band instruments, same guitars, same singer, 13 songs in a row. I don't think we have that. We may never have exactly that. Maybe future albums might have that within themselves, but I think the way that we make things, I don't think it's ever going to be like you're going to have 30 songs in a row and they're all the same, like you know, off the same album, Dookie, sounding the same kind of thing.
I think I'd find that boring, maybe. Like, I like how I can just be like, oh, I want to do synths today. Or like, this song could be a piano, because Curtis is a really good piano player. And like, we don't have the capacity right now with just the three of us to have guitar, bass, and piano and drums. But one day, if we do, it's like, this song would sound awesome with a piano. We can do that when we're recording because we have the flexibility, and then try and sort that out later when we're trying to play it live. But I don't want to feel limited too much.
No, I was gonna say I fully agree with like it could be boring. I feel like it must be hard as musicians to like find that sweet spot where people don't like it when all of your work sound the same because they think it's boring, but then they also don't like it most of the time when people change their sound and try new things. And so it's best to like do what you want to do, keep doing what you like. And I like that vibe. One of my favorite musicians is Willow Smith, and like every single album of hers sounds different. They're all like different genres. She's just, you know, doing what she wants. And although within the album there is like more of a theme, I guess, more of a cohesive sound, like you wouldn't really be able to say, oh, she makes this genre of music. And so
I like that way of thinking for you guys too. Although, you do have a general sound, I guess, which is rock. There's just so many different ways you can do rock that I feel like this is a good way to explore that for you guys.
What's your favorite?
Oh.
My favorite song of yours?
Yeah.
And then afterwards,
And
then
then,
your favorite song ever.
if it's not the same.
Yeah, if it's the same song, then
Yeah.
that's fine. We would encourage
Yeah.
that.
I have two songs. I liked How Did We Survive? And I also liked It's Time We Took a Ride. Those two were my favorite.
Is that like one of our top streamed or radio spun?
Top radio.
Radio, yeah. So that's played across
That
Canada.
checks.
Yeah, that's
So
the
it's.
matter of
But
our
you
day.
know what's good though is like both those songs I would say are like more aggressive songs, and so maybe we should just get more aggressive.
Yeah,
We could
honestly.
probably bring those two into practice maybe or something based on that feedback. You know,
Yeah.
I don't think we practice them much, right?
I don't think so. No.
Yeah, not sure.
I like my music aggressive, so that might be why I liked it too. I'm just one person. Don't take me as your full sample, guys.
You're
Yeah,
it.
we're gonna dedicate every time we play it to you.
Thanks,
Favorite song
guys. Or favorite song in history?
That's such a hard question. Do you have an answer to that?
Favorite song? I don't. I mean, it's probably This Time We Took a Ride by The Origin.
If it's not Tough Thumb Thing, it's
Anthem Part Two.
yeah.
Honestly, I go through phases. Like, I get obsessed with a certain artist or a certain album. I'll listen to it months on end, and then I'll be done with it, and then I'll find a new one. And so it's hard for me to say if I have like a favorite song of all time, genuinely. But my most recent favorite one, I would say, again, it was by Willow. Her new album came out last May, and I think I've been listening to it every single day since then. My favorite one off that album is False Self. It's just such a good song. Can't really describe why I like it, probably because of the high energy. Again, I love really like energetic, high tempo music. So that's me. What
Nice.
about you guys? Do you guys have an answer?
Maybe some favorite song of all time.
Yeah, I don't think I have a favorite of all time. Like, I think I have like favorites from different artists that have influenced me, or like songs that I always love going back to, like playing on the drums or something like that. Yeah, like I came up playing drums, listening to The Who. So really anything from The Who. Love like the drum part on Behind Blue Eyes when that comes in. That was like a sort of inspirational song for me when I was starting out. I'm a big Black Sabbath fan. Again, a lot of like sort of Bill Ward style drumming in my own drumming. It's like Paranoid, War Pig. Those are like big songs for me. But yeah, there's probably too many to say. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple artist therapies that I love.
What about you guys?
I'm gonna guess yours.
Okay.
No,
Yeah.
I can't guess.
I'll
We'll
try.
try.
I'll say
Guess.
yes, and it's in the top 25.
Let it be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's
Top
in the top.
10.
I'll say. I'll. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And not
Yeah.
just like
Yeah.
quality of song, but your connection to the song.
Yeah. It's definitely like I liked it early. I liked it often. It's
Yeah, still.
like it's still and well maybe maybe some other Beatles songs like it's okay. I heard them enough and they're still masterpieces, but it's okay. That one still feels like it's the first time you listen to it every time it comes on. I really like I like songs. I'm trying to think of songs that aren't just like the most famous songs of all time. I really like this song Sweet Lady Genevieve by the Kinks, which is like more of trying to say a deeper cut. And yeah, I like Andro Queen by the Pixies. These are I'm kind of trying to find deeper cuts, but there's a lot of songs like by the Beatles, the Pixies, Metric, Nirvana, Oasis that are probably my favorite songs. But it's probably not that interesting to say, Don't Look Back in Anger or Someday by the Strokes or something. That's like, a popular song. But yeah, those are a few of them at least. There's, yeah, it'd be hard to pick favorites, but I wouldn't say Bob Dylan is like a big deal for me. I think I probably haven't heard all of his songs. There's a lot of his discography that I think is more for a different generation or like, it's not really my thing. But I really do think I like Hurricane a lot. It feels like you're turning on one of the best movies of the 20th century. When you listen to it, it opens it's like, wow, like I'm seated at the movie theater for a, whatever it is, a, I can't remember, it's like 8, 9, 10, 11 minutes. And I just like one of those things, like when Goodfellas is on TV or something, where it's like, oh, I'll just watch 10 minutes. Okay, I'm sitting and listening to the whole thing. And I feel that way about Hurricane when it comes on, you know, the radio or something.
Did you watch the biopic?
I think I've seen it once. I'd be honest, like I don't think the movie, it doesn't have a big place in my life. I think it was a good movie and Denzel did a good job, but it's more the song, I think, that I remember. Like,
Is it with Timothy Chalamet
no, do you mean like The Hurricane with Denzel Washington? Or are you trying to keep
biopic?
up with Timothee Chalamet? I'm like dating myself. There's a movie, there's a biopic about Reuben Carter, The Hurricane, with Denzel Washington.
No, you're thinking.
So sorry, I meant the Bob Dylan
I haven't seen that.
biopic.
I don't watch that Walk Hard stuff. Walk Hard is the movie. I don't really like biopics like that. I'll watch it someday, but like I can't take them seriously. That's just my opinion. I'm sorry if that offends anyone, but
Fair enough. That's fine.
have
How
you
about
heard
you, Tom?
of
Walk hard?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Walk hard.
Just in the next month, just watch it and you'll understand what I mean. You'll understand what this reference is.
Yeah, I know. Forget to watch
I will.
with Denzel
Yeah,
Washington.
watch Hurricane with Denzel
You know,
Washington
any
and Walk
movie
Hard.
about like
Yeah.
a windstorm, like
Yeah.
Twister or Twister
Yeah.
2, even, you
Yeah.
know, is gonna be
Yeah.
good.
Twister 2. Well, you said, like, have you seen the biopic, classic biopic? I mean, like, what, that movie that came out 9 weeks ago? Like, yeah, no, I haven't. But...
Well, you said I think I've seen it once.
No, I thought you meant,
It
I thought you were
came
talking about Reuben Carter the Hurricane.
out.
Like,
I think I've seen it once. I forget.
Well, it was 20
It's
years
still in the
ago.
theaters.
She's gonna edit this down. I'm gonna be like, yeah, I think I've seen it once. This whole conversation will be dropped.
I saw the Hurricane once in the early 2000s or something like that.
I'm so sorry. You were talking about Bob Dylan. That question came to my mind, and then I asked it anyways, even though you were in the
Yeah.
end talking about something else.
It took us to a good
Yeah.
place.
Have you seen the classic biopic?
No.
No, okay. Not even once.
Not even once. I'm so sorry. No, I watch a lot of comedy movies. I watch a lot of musicals,
Okay, well, you're gonna love
biopics.
Walk Hard. Just check out Walk
Yeah, it's
Hard.
pretty convenient.
I will. Tom, do you have an answer for your all-time favorite?
I've thought about this many times. I think for me, like, I will like a song because of like an emotional connection to the song. So like some were coming to mind as you were talking, and like Curtis, there's like the big bangers of the last 30 years or whatever that are great. I do like, speaking of songs that are I don't know if I have the like emotional connection, but deeper cuts would be songs like Ryan Adams, not Brian Adams, but Ryan Adams is an acoustic singer-songwriter. Don't know what to say about his character as a person, but he's a really great songwriter. Songs like Dear Chicago and Call Me on Your Way Back Home are really great. My dad would always listen to Gordon Lightfoot, so songs like If You Could Read My Mind, obviously. I'm a big fan of U2. That was like one of the first big bands that I got into, and not so much like the newer stuff, but All That You Can't Leave Behind, like hearing Beautiful Day and learning how to play that on the guitar felt like a fundamental thing for my guitar direction. And like, you know, I bought the same amp that the Edge has and stuff because I really like the Edge. So a lot of U2 songs that I would name, but I don't think I can say one particular song.
Yeah, were you thrilled when Apple put U2's album on everyone's
I mean,
iTunes?
who wasn't thrilled about
Yeah.
that? It's free.
Some people on the internet went through
Yeah, most people.
it.
I don't think I had an iPod then, like, so it was like, oh, Apple, it's on the iPod or something. I was like, I don't even know what that is. Like, I
Yeah.
just have some Sony MP3 player.
Microsoft Zoom.
Yeah. No, I was probably like not connected with DAC enough to care. I was lined up at HMV for that when that album came out. There's no one else in line. I was there by
Do
myself.
you know what HMV is?
Do you know what HMV stands for? Do you know what it stands
No.
for? I think it stands for His Majesty's Voice or His
Is
Master's Voice.
it a Canadian thing?
I don't think so.
I think it might have started in the UK or something, but
Yeah.
it was a music Back when they sold CDs in stores, it was a retail chain that was popular in Canada for buying music.
Wait, you actually don't know HMV?
Guys, I did not grow up in Canada.
Oh, do you know Andy Sound? Where did you grow up?
In Turkey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not that young. Like I bought CDs too. I had cassettes, you know? Yeah, I think the only reason I don't know HMV is because I'm not Canadian.
Makes sense.
Maybe it was just Canada. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, going back to you guys as a band, you said that you need a guitarist for like live shows and that you are working on longer sets. Do you have any like live shows lined up? Are you planning on playing more this year, next year? What are your plans on that?
I think more this year. I think we probably could line up a set with 5 or 6 songs right now, and that might be what the summer is dedicated to. But I think in terms of getting another guitarist and playing more like a 45-minute set, that's probably going to be later this year. But we've been jamming with Liam, and we're at the point where we're cresting the hill of being able to jump on and open for someone here locally here in Victoria. And then I think that will probably be the focus for a long time is what can we do here in Victoria? And then if anyone that is like, oh, we want to book you for a international show outside of Victoria, then we'll listen. But it's probably going to be Victoria focused for a while, like next few years. We'll see.
What's the live music scene like in Victoria?
Well, I don't. From what I see, it seems like there's always some of the same things, which is like when you see the polls advertising things, it's like improv comedy, metal shows, country. The actual kind of like this is just a several indie rock bands, which was very common 10 or 15 years ago. I don't see that as much. So I think it's a little bit diminished from the heyday, which I think was probably like 1995 to 2011 was probably a heyday of like rock being a weekend event for people to go to. That doesn't mean that I don't still see the posters, but I don't know what you guys see out there.
Yeah, I think it's been a slow recovery, especially here since COVID, I think. I mean, I'm sure that's everywhere, but yeah, our kind of live music or just like the bar and club scene is kind of struggling here a little bit. So there are a few venues that kind of have the same revolving cast of bands playing through on the sort of Friday, Saturday or Thursday nights, which is great for them, and that might be something that we can sort of tap into a little bit. Victoria, just with the weather being so mild here, coming into sort of April, May, we sort of get the festival community events season starting, which is great. So opportunity there, which is great when you take the, like the 11 a.m. opening set somewhere. We could probably get our start there before we move to the main stage. So yeah, I mean it's tricky, I think, especially to like West Coast, British Columbia as well. Like cities are so far spread out, you have to go quite a distance to hit the next major place. Like even for us to, if we wanted to tour, go over to Vancouver or something like that, it's quite a hike for us. So yes, some more limited opportunities than if we were in a bigger center, but I think we're not really ready for that anyway. So I think we'll sort of work with what we have here, and hopefully the entire industry turns around and our ship is raised by that tide.
Yeah, and Rifflandia and then Phillips Brewery together in aggregate bring several pretty good festivals that have deep lineups several times throughout the year. So that's a rotating kind of thing that happens several times a year that the lineup goes pretty deep and you don't necessarily have to be Feist or Orville Peck in order to play. There's like lots of bands playing, and I think they're probably always looking for bands like us that are real bands on
Real
Spotify.
fans.
That could play at those things.
The other thing I wanted to mention, and years before we stopped making music together, it's so funny. Curtis and I and like others were playing lots of shows here in Victoria. and we actually had like completely different songs. But we were playing as The Origin, and like there was a time when we were playing shows quite regularly. But now you kind of look at the polls and it's like doom metal show, like killer death, like Psycho Clown, like murder kill. It's just like I don't think I want to go to the show really. Like
I've kind of been more the metal punk guy previously, so that's sort of a little bit more of my background. So I'm kind of backing it off to dial in the rock, try to keep it a bit more civilized here. They're refining me slowly. I had some finishing that I needed, and yeah, Tom and Curtis have been great.
You and Mosh
A little bit. Like I always prefer being behind the kit. So like I don't actually go to as many shows as I should because I just would prefer playing or jamming myself. But yeah, I probably should try and tap into more of these metal shows that Tom's complaining about.
Yeah, the old like when we were the Origin before and we would play on a bill with these bands, it was just like such a stark difference. Like we'd have like, these slow, pretty songs and then they'd just be like
Yeah, I used to be in those bands. I remember playing shows where like, the drummers of all the bands usually have to pick one kit, one band's kit, and if it's a small venue and you all share the one drum kit. And I remember one gig that I played where there's probably these 16, 17-year-olds, very Beatles inspired, like a young Tom and Curtis. And they had the outfits and the sparkly Ludwig drum kit, like gorgeous little three-piece kit. He brings this on stage and he's so adamant he wants every other band to use this kit. And I'm like, I play metal, but I'll play your sparkly little kit. And I came out with my double kick pedals, and yeah, it was probably not what he was expecting to be playing. The Iron Maiden and Megadeth and covers, whatever that we were doing. But yeah, it's a fun experience.
I was just gonna say something to figure out on that note of like hardcore versus pretty and poppy. I think something that's I didn't really expect, but kind of has happened is like some of the songs I've written, just thinking like, oh, we kind of want this to at least get some attention on streaming. So like there's been kind of like a few summers along the way where it's like, this is gonna be a pop rock song that I've written, where it's almost like this is an exercise to write a pop rock song. And I actually think like with Liam in the band, it opens up a little bit to kind of like I have maybe not full metal, but I have loves of things like Muse and the Smashing Pumpkins, where there's certainly double kick drumming and playing hard core types of guitar parts. Maybe I shouldn't use the word hardcore because that's a specific term, but they're playing close to metal, if it's still rock a little bit, but it's hard rock or close to metal. And I think like, not every song in the future, I don't want every song in the future to be like I Pour Myself Out, one of our songs that's been streamed a lot, but is a pop rock song. And like, there's stuff to explore with Liam as the band grows, where I think like I definitely have influences where it sounds a little bit more like Billy Corgan at his most hard and like Muse at their most hardcore. That I like that stuff, but I haven't really written too much of that. And that's actually something I'd like to do in the future at some point.
There was a funny thing where like a little while ago, Curtis, you might not even remember this, but we were talking about like how to develop our like fan base and listenership and stuff. And Curtis said something like, I'm gonna butcher what he said, but it was basically like, why don't we make more songs that like people will listen to? And I was like, dude, I'm actually trying to do that. I think it was like, I forget, let's make more singles. And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to
Every
do that.
song I make is trying to be
Yeah,
a single.
sort of.
That's so funny. Yeah, I was just thinking about like how Liam was like, "Whoa, these guys are a real band," and then you're out here worrying about we should write songs that people are gonna listen to. Like, I feel like you've done it already.
Yeah, I mean, you listen to
You
them.
listen to it,
I
yes.
think one.
You listen to the whole discography.
I did in one sitting.
Oh man, I
Yeah,
haven't even done
I've
that.
never done
I
that.
still haven't
I
done
couldn't
that.
make it.
Yeah. That's the singles. Yeah. Never earned it.
That's fine. I don't ever listen to my episodes after I release them. So, I feel like that kind of checks out. Well, we are towards the end of our time. It's been really nice chatting with you guys. Very enjoyable. Is there anything you want to talk about or mention before we head out?
Are you watching anything on TV right now?
I'm rewatching Community right now. I just finished Severance.
Yeah. The
And
current season?
it's the second season. Yeah. It was so. Do you guys watch it?
No.
Okay, I'm starting to struggle with wanting to watch it. I'm just to be honest.
You have to get in. Dude, it's such a good show. in this age of Netflix releasing like shows that every single line is exposition and they treat the audience just like they have the IQ of 20, Severance genuinely such a good show. It's really well written. There's mystery, but then they also let you in on it, but then it's beautifully filmed too. It's such a good show. I would definitely recommend it.
Is that Netflix? Apple.
Oh no, it's on Apple TV.
Lotus. Yeah.
White Lotus. Yeah, I heard one of my friends said that like if I like Severance, I would like White Lotus too. Haven't gotten into it yet.
And
Yeah.
that's not, I don't see that. Yeah, maybe. I mean, they're both probably screenwriting driven, maybe. But they're pretty different. But yeah.
Definitely. Well, it's been lovely chatting with you guys. Thank you so much for coming on, taking the time out of your day to talk to me. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to all of our songs.
Of course.